Amen. All right, slip that in your Bible so you'll have it for prayer time. Let me give you some few thoughts here on as we close on the last chapter of Exodus, though we won't be done talking about the tabernacle, though in Exodus 40 it's finished. The work is done, as we saw a couple weeks ago when I had the opportunity to preach. So thankful for Brother Alton stepping in last week for me and faithfully bringing the word to you. And thank you for being patient with me and the things that are kind of busy season on a lot of ways. So I thank you for that. But I do want you to turn to Exodus chapter 40, this closing chapter. And I want to focus on the last few verses where God's presence, the cloud and the glorious presence of God, dwells now among his people, and the importance of that. Remember, when you open up the book of Exodus and you start, God's presence is seen there in a fiery bush. It's Moses who sees a bush on fire and says, I need to step aside and I see that there thing. I don't know what that looks like. And when he does, of course, God says, you're walking on holy ground. Stop right there. Take your shoes off. And God speaks to Moses, and God's presence is there in that bush. But it's not till later, when God comes and sends Moses to be the great deliverer, that God's people see his presence as he leads them after the Passover, that night of the plague that God sent, where he destroyed the firstborn of anyone that wasn't under the blood, but particularly the Egyptians. And he led his people out in Exodus 13 and led them out. And it was God's presence there that was seen by his people. It was just a pillar, a fire by night, a cloud by day. But that presence was there. They didn't know what was in that cloud, but that was, God's presence is there in some way. And then they make their way all the way in Exodus chapter 19. They come to Mount Sinai, and there, they're at the foot of the mountain, and up there on the mountain, they see the thunder. Hear the thunder. They see the lightning. They see the clouds, and they know he's up there. So much so that he calls Moses up and 70 of the elders and Joshua. And they go up and they commune with God in some way there. And have, but they know that that's God's presence. And from now on, Moses, you go in our place. But he's there up there. And then it's here that we discover God has made a promise that, listen, Moses, I'm going to dwell among my people. There's a tabernacle you're going to build. You're going to have a little tent of meeting, Moses. I'm going to come meet with you until I meet there in the tabernacle. But it's there in chapter 33 where Moses would meet with God and have to veil his face because of the presence, the glorious presence of God. And when he came to talk to the people, they were like, oh my goodness, you've seen God. And so now, though, in chapter 40, the tabernacle is built. We saw in chapter 39, Moses, the quality control guy, he's inspected everything. He's made sure everything was made precisely as God had told them, with all the right materials as God had instructed them, and according to the pattern that God had shown him up on the mountain. All of that work has been completed. It's been about a year. They're about to celebrate the Passover. It'll be just in 2 weeks. They've had this time. The instructions have come. They've built all of the elements for the tabernacle. And after we get the instructions from about offering up the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus, they will have and celebrate the Passover and celebrate the worship and worshiping the Lord as he has commanded. It's been that long in the wilderness. Thing is, God's been faithful to care for his people during that time while they do what God has given them to do. And what's amazing here is that God now gives Moses the instructions, okay? All those things are brought. What's fascinating is it only probably took less than a day for them to put it all together and set it up. And that's exactly what they do. I think the Levitical priest probably got some on-the-job training right here, right? Or at least Aaron's sons. And how to put this thing together. How to establish that place where God would come and commune with his people. Moses does exactly as the Lord said. He brings it together, sets it all up, anoints it, and prepares it in just the precise way so that worship can take place. And so when we move to Leviticus, you'll see there how God will define all of the different sacrifices that are to be offered up, the different offerings that will be made. And we'll examine those starting next week, walking through the book of Leviticus. But here at the end of chapter 40, I just want to read this section in verse 34 down to verse 38, because it's a reminder of that presence of God that now, just as he promised the patriarchs, that he would dwell among his people. that he would be their God, they would be his people, that the land that he was going to lead them to, he would dwell with them there, is coming to fruition. And God now has a place where his presence will be sensed and seen and known. And so Moses writes here in verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night." I love this. "In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Everyone saw the presence of God. Everyone saw through all their journeys God's presence. What a great promise and reminder for us, right? That God gave them a responsibility to build something, and they did it. They completed the work. Remember, he was the one who gave the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge to the artisans and Bezalel and his assistant to help teach and instruct. Everything that God had them to make, it's all made. And now his presence comes, just as he said. A reminder, listen, as it's said here in this chapter, starting in verse 19 and 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, all these things, the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded, they've built everything. And just as there's a conclusion to building this tabernacle, some think it's a reflection of all that was done in creation when God created all things and there dwelt with man. He made a man, he made him in his image, and he dwelt with him. And what did the man enjoy? Shalom, rest with him. In a similar way, in a reflection of that, what's about to be a new year for God's people, this would be mid-March to April, sometime around there. It's when we celebrate Easter, typically, the Passover. This is 2 weeks before that time. God's there, and this is a new beginning for God's people. This is a new beginning to mark a new age, a new era. They're going to be delivered, and they're going to be heading to the promised land. An experience, if they walk by faith, everything that God has promised them. And God is just that kind of God. Amen. But stop and think for a moment about how God's presence dwells among his people. God's always desired that for mankind. He made us in his image to dwell with him. He came and walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. He talked with him, communed with him, fellowshiped with him. And beloved, he's making a new heaven and a new earth for us so that we can dwell with him there. But in the meantime, he comes and allows his presence to dwell among sinful man. Now, he has to do that in a veiled way. We can't see him as he is. No man can see God, lest he die. Remember, it's even Moses who in chapter 34, up on the mountain, said, "God, I just want to see your glory." And God said, "Well, you can't do that. I'm sorry. I tell you what, though, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll encompass you. I'll put my hand over you. When I pass by, I'll declare the name of the Lord." And what did he say? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant, abounding in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and keeping covenant, keeping mercy, keeping his word, his covenant with his people. To the thousands. Praise God for that tonight. And he declared all that to Moses, that glorious presence, and Moses only saw him as he passed by. He couldn't see his face because no sinful man can do that. Well, what's amazing is this is just really a shadow, a picture of what God was going to do next. Of course, it says over there when Solomon built the temple that God in a similar manner allowed his presence, his glorious presence, to come there to the temple until God's people sinned so much that he said, "I'm sorry, I can't dwell among these people." And Ichabod, the glory had to leave the temple. And all the anticipation, when would that glory return? When would it come again and tabernacle among us? And praise God, we know the answer to that. John 1 tells us, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And that Word, John tells us, came and tabernacled among us, came and dwelt among us, came and put a tent on, dwelt among us in flesh. Why? Well, he did that. That one who dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glorious presence, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glorious presence came back. Praise God tonight. Amen. That glorious presence came back, but they didn't recognize that glorious presence when it came. They wouldn't have anything to do with it, and so they crucified him because he identified himself as God. But that was all part of the Father's plan. He knew all that. 3 days later, Christ arose, and now that glorious presence, just as Jesus promised, the Spirit of God is given to the church so that the presence of God, his glorious presence, can come and dwell within us in human hearts. And he does that in the body of a believer. Paul would tell the Corinthians that we're the temple of the living God, the temple of the Spirit that dwells within us, present within us. And so our lives should be marked by that passion for purity, sanctified, set apart to God. He comes and dwells among his people as a church. We're just living stones built one upon another that we can offer up sacrifices to the Lord, as Peter would tell all those believers that are spread out all over the earth. He's the one that, as Paul would say to the Ephesians, is we've built on the foundation of Christ, and God has given those who build up that church. And in the church universal, God's presence is there. But beloved, all of that, we're looking for his presence where we can look and see him. And one day we're going to see it in heaven. There in Revelation, it says the glory, the presence is so awesome that it fills all of heaven. There's no need for a sun. One day we're going to behold him and see that glorious presence. And we're going to see the lamb that was slain, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're going to celebrate that glorious presence of God. It's what's been God's intention all along, that we would behold him and glorify him. We were made for that. But here at the end of the tabernacle, as it's built, this is the cloud that comes and dwells among it. It's fascinating when it says that it was so thick, I guess we could say it that way, Moses couldn't enter into the building. Which is interesting, because the building's not for man, it was for God, right? It's for God's presence among man. God's the inhabitant of it. It's always a primary thing to remember, that worship is always about him first and foremost, and then us. And he sees him. And that cloud, praise God, it's a cloud that guides and directs. If it moves, you know what you should do? Move with it. If it don't move, stay still. That's a good lesson for us to be reminded of even. He'll talk about that more over in the book of Numbers when he talks about the trumpets that are sounded as God's people are supposed to respond when the cloud moves and the trumpets sound, you get ready to move. Well, I'm waiting for a trumpet to sound so I can move. Amen. It's not going to be here on this earth, though. It's going to be up to his presence. And so we look forward with anticipation to what the Lord has for us one day. Moses has put everything in order. God has come and dwelt among his people. And I love that it was in the sight of all the house of Israel. Any man could walk to the door of his tent and look out, and there, the glorious presence of God. And everywhere they went, all their journeys, there's God's glorious presence leading us. And beloved, he hasn't changed. That glorious presence wants to lead us. Now, he gives us a light to illumine our path, to guide us in the steps. Praise the Lord. He's a shepherd that leads his sheep and guides us in the right paths if we'll follow the paths of righteousness and listen to his voice. As the psalmist would declare in Psalm 119:105, the word is the lamp for our feet. It's the light for our path. The Spirit of God takes that word, and as we chisel it on our heart, it's a sure guide for us. That Spirit within us confirming the word of God, telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, why to do it, and just you and I just wanting to do it is really what matters. And that Spirit's with us. I mean, you stop and think, I mean, that the love of God would make you and I his children, make us his people, make us part of this holy nation, a privileged people that once weren't the people of God, but now, praise God, we are the people of God. And God doesn't leave us alone as we go. The good work that he started in us, just as he finished the good work with them in building his tabernacle, beloved, he's going to do that in your life and my life, because that's his nature. It's who he is. I read this, and when I read it, I mean, you and I should be inspired about the nature of worship that we offer to him. How do I worship the God whose glorious presence wants to dwell among us? Because he hasn't changed. He's still seeking to and fro. For anyone who'll search after him, and any who will search after him with all their heart, you know what they'll do? They'll find him. He hasn't changed today, amen? And so may it be the case for you and me that, you know what, come worship with me. I'm walking with God. I'm following his presence. If he says move, I go. If he says stop, I stop. And you know what? His word is a sure guide to show me the way. Invite others to go along in this journey of worship. We're all pilgrims walking somewhere. There's one of two destinations. We need to find other pilgrims that are on this journey to go along with us, to lock arms with us and say, hey, let's build something glorious to the Lord that His presence can rest upon as a testimony to the world around us that we are the set apart people of God. Remember, it was their testimony when they got up there to Jericho. And the spies went in. And what did they say? Rahab said this, we know about your God. We've heard about Him. We know what He did to Sion. We know what He did to Og. We know how powerful He is. She feared Him. May that be our testimony as we walk with Him through the wilderness till we get to the promised land. Amen. That they know whose we are and who He is. Amen. Let's pray tonight, and next week we'll dive into the book of Leviticus and go forward with some of the discussions of the sacrifice offered up to this holy God in worship. But tonight, Father, tonight, my prayer is, Lord, that in our own hearts, Lord, in this tabernacle right here, God, may your glorious presence be seen. God, I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to see us. God, we want them to see you in us. Now, Father, it might be a testimony, Lord, that there is an amazing, awesome God who dwells among us. And, Lord, I pray that your word would be our sure guide, Lord. I pray we'd search our hearts, Lord, and remove those things which would quench the presence of your Spirit, would quench your Spirit from shining out through us. And, God, may they see that, and may they want to, Lord, worship you and experience you as we have as well, Lord. Lord, forgive us when you're knocking on the door trying to get in, Lord, in that way. God, help us to be the faithful, true church, Lord. And may we shine in this day that you've given us, we pray. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you came and manifested that glorious presence for us to see and believe. We look forward to seeing you in his presence one day. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen.